Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 7th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today, it's Maggie. How you doing, Maggie?
I'm good. You know, I'm coming on the heels of, I think, one of the best updates that we've maybe ever had on RHAP with you and Amon talking about what happened yesterday. I just was so... Like, I thought that Amon gave such amazing insight and had such intelligent and thoughtful and nuanced things to say about the whole situation. If you have not listened to that one before you're listening to this, please go and listen to that because Amon is way smarter and more articulate than I am. But yeah, I'm excited to sort of, you know, expand on what happened yesterday and talk about where we're at this week. I, of course, you know, when all of the really intense stuff was going down, I was like at a wedding looking at Twitter, trying to not be sad while they're like watching Clara sob into Tiffany's arms. But I'm excited to sort of just go over everything and figure out where we're at like now going into next week.
Very happy that you guys are getting married, but I'm sorry. There's something really sad is happening in Big Brother right now, so I can't be happy for you.
But that's the thing. People are like, are you okay? And I'm like, well, this is the thing. There's this show on TV called Big Brother. Yeah, the show where they slime people. Yeah, that show.
The bubbles like, came out of the elephant's butt this week. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I'm like deeply, deeply distraught here. But, yeah, congrats, Amanda and Alex. Love you guys. Wishing you all of the love of the world as you go on to your honeymoon. But I was distraught.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. It was day 62 in the house. And I know the question on everyone's mind is Xavier still complaining? The answer is yes. Yeah. He's still complaining.
In the great words of Denise Stapley, whiners are wieners. And that's all I have to say. No, like, but for real, Xavier is giving big Franzel energy this week, like very strong Franzel energy where he's going to have to make a game move and he doesn't want to because of his personal feelings. And so he's just whining like crazy about it. And it's just really, I mean, it's up there with like the Ian Franzel week in terms of how annoying, fake, phony, get out of here, go home, goodbye, Xavier, I can't anymore. Like and it's crazy to me how quickly my feelings on him have shifted. Like last week, I was like, I really think he's going to win. He's so likable and he's so, you know, he's been doing so great. And now I'm watching him like, complain for hours and hours on end about Tiffany being self-interested when he is being completely self-interested. If I have to hear Xavier call Tiffany selfish one more time when he is being so selfish, goodbye. Bye, Xavier.
I mean, he still might win.
I was not mad about it.
You were happy about it, yeah.
Yeah, well, not happy. Trust me, the only situation where I'm going to be happy is if Tiffany wins. And maybe Hannah. She's coming up the ranks here for me. But
Melody in the chat had a great comment here. He wins, Xavier will complain that the confetti stuck to him and he had to carry it onto the stage.
When Amon said yesterday to you, this was, Amon stopped himself from saying probably what everybody was thinking. And then he said, Taryn, I would like you to ask him very pointed questions. I would like to echo Amon's sentiments so that he knows. So I just need him. I need him to know.
All right.
Driving me insane.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what happened here now. Obviously, Tiffany is the HOH. She nominated Alyssa and Xavier for eviction, but Alyssa won the veto. Selfishly, I should say, nominated Alyssa and Xavier for eviction. Then Alyssa won the veto. Last night, the night before the day we're talking about, Tiffany talked with Kyland and Hannah. Tiffany and Hannah were trying to convince Kyland to go after Xavier first when they get to six. They say, like, you can't go to the end with him. You're going to lose. He's coming after us. He's coming after you. We need you to go after him. And he was not really giving them a solid answer there. They also came up with a plan to try to convince Alyssa to use the veto on Xavier. Tiffany's going to approach Alyssa right before the veto ceremony, which will take place today, the day that we're talking about, try to convince her without Xavier being able to interfere that, hey, you should use it on Xavier. So those are the two things we're looking at coming into the day. Kyland starts the day talking to Xavier and, for the most part, ratting out the conversation that he had with Hannah and Tiffany the night before. Very effectively, I will add. He's going to tell Xavier that Tiffany and Hannah are trying to pin the two of them against each other, that they spent all night last night trying to convince him to go after Xavier. I'm sure they're doing the same to you, Xavier. And he's like, yeah. And he says, I know that I can't take you out. And just like I know you can't take me out, we need each other in this game. Xavier agrees. And he says that, Kylan's being Kylan. Tiffany and Hannah, if they're worried that I'm going to take Azza and Big D to the end, they don't understand how they can't see with the way that I've set up my game that I can't do that. They clearly have not been paying attention.
Mm-hmm. So this is great stuff from Kyland. Like, I have to say, since Sarah Beth left, Kyland is much easier to listen to on the feeds because you're not getting like the secondhand weird flirting embarrassment that you get when you were watching that. So he's been like really, I feel like he's really stepped up his game this week. Obviously, I don't love that he ratted out Tiffany as a huge Tiffany fan who like is only wants to see her succeed. But as like a gamer, I think that it's really, it's perfect that he's, you know, trying to get it. He's trying to position himself in the position that Tiffany was in last week, where she's trying to get, you know, X and Kai to go after each other. Kai is now trying to shift it. And I do think, you know, this whole like, the cookout having to get rid of their plus ones has been so interesting to me in a way that I feel like usually I was not expecting it to be the pendulum to be swinging in this way, where whenever the person whose person is leaving, it like whenever that's going on, like when Sarah Beth was leaving, when DX was leaving, when now Alyssa was in danger, all the other members of the cookout, when Brittany was leaving with Azza, like all the other members of the cookout are looking at the person who it's their partner. And it's like, they're being so over emotional. I don't understand. Screw them. They're not putting the alliance first. And then suddenly when it's their turn, the only one, and I'm going to say this, like, well, Hannah did do her part, I suppose, in the way that the cookout wanted her to when it was DX's turn to go. But Tiffany is the only one who has not been like whining and over the top and like really desperately trying to keep Claire. She put her on the block. But it's so funny how last week when SV was leaving and Kyland was feeling some type of way about it, he was publicly enemy number one. And now this week when Claire is leaving and Tiffany's clearly feeling some type of way about it, she's public enemy number one. And I think that pendulum swing, it makes it really interesting, you know, looking back retroactively at the game. If we're going to look at this game in the full arc of it, like, did it really, really matter? Did it have a huge impact what order your side person went home and with your social standing within the cookout and how long you had to really solidify your end game? Does that make sense?
Is that a question that you're asking?
Yeah, it's sort of a rhetorical question. I think that's going to be like a huge question that I want answered at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when you and Mary were arguing about this and you were like, there's no benefit to getting rid of your person earlier. And she was saying, well, maybe there is. And I understand, like, if it was a complete perfect world and these players didn't have emotion and didn't get jealous or angry with one another, that it would be perfectly reasonable to keep your person until the very end. But I do think that, and of course, Xavier's in a better position because if Alyssa wins, then he's set up better. But I do think that if Hannah wins HOH and Alyssa's out, Xavier has made an enemy of himself to Azza, Tiffany, and Hannah now. And I'm just really interested once the season ends to look back at this time and see if it had a huge impact on the way the season played out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it comes down to next week, and next week is the sticking point. It's a competition where Xavier, as we'll talk about, plans to throw both the HOH and the veto. Big D actively hopes for a scenario where Alyssa wins the HOH or the veto. In fact, I think he wants Alyssa to win the veto even more than he wants her to win the HOH, because he would love to win the HOH and be the one to send mm-hmm. Tiffany home. And this is not only, it's not only good for Xavier to have Alyssa because because if Alyssa wins, then he can sort of get his way and then have Alyssa in the final six and have an extra buffer, but also because he gets to throw this competition. He gets to throw this veto. He gets to go into the following week and throw that competition if he wants to. He gets a lot of extra stuff. All it takes is one rogue win by Alyssa next week, and Xavier has basically won the game, like, straight up.
I'm just saying, if that doesn't happen, if the mm-hmm. one rogue win doesn't happen, if, you know, the 1 in 7 chance doesn't happen, did Xavier not do himself any favors with the rest of the cookout by being so whiny this week and obnoxious? And you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, the
it's going to be results oriented, right? Like, I do think that it's going to be, like, I'm not saying that my analysis of this is not going to be results oriented. I understand that you are looking at it from what is the best probability? What is the best way to, you know, get yourself to the end from all sides? I'm just saying, if we're looking at it and Alyssa doesn't get that win, is this where his game starts to really tank in terms of the overall arc of the game? And I think this is a question that I can't answer until, you know, the end. And I think that if I'm on an update at the very end, this will be a conversation that we can come back to and talk about. But I just think that it's so, like, the gameplay this season has been so interesting to me because it hasn't all been optimal. The cookout was not the optimal strategy for most of the members of the cookout, but they committed to it. And then there's now, like, this weird other option where maybe playing optimally this season was not the way to win. If that makes sense. No, you don't like what I'm saying. I don't mean playing optimally. Oh gosh, I feel like people are going to be like, what was Maggie even talking about? I don't mean just playing optimally. I mean playing to get to the end, not within the six, with other pieces outside of the six, is that not the optimal strategy for this specific season?
I think once, for example, for Tiffany, once Tiffany has committed to the six, and she's made the decisions she's made all across the season, to get to where she is now, she's no longer, she's now locked into it. She can't escape this. Xavier is right. She is stuck, where she's either going to betray Claire or she's going to betray the cookout. And there's no other way out of it. But I do think that Tiffany could have made the decision early on to not go with the cookout, and she could have won the game that way. I think that, and that would have been optimal.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. Sorry that it was a little confusing what I was saying. Let's move on.
It's all right. So Kylan and Xavier, Kylan, rats them out to Xavier, and Xavier is, of course, you know, not pleased. Xavier though, has always had, you know, he is recognizing that what Kylan is telling him is the truth, that, Xavier is screwed if Kylan leaves. In fact, Xavier doesn't know this, but he has become the number one target, for Tiffany and Hannah. He thinks that Kylan is still their target and Kylan is his shield, when in reality, it's more that he has bigger threats to worry about than Kylan in Tiffany and Hannah. And he thinks it's more that, like, well, I'll just keep Kylan around because they'll take the shot at him eventually. But either way, it's the right play for him. Tiffany and Hannah, in the meantime, are going to prep some more, trying to figure out what Tiffany's going to say to Alyssa to try to get her to use the veto on Xavier. But Xavier is going to have a conversation with Alyssa. She's joking around about him, what's your speech going to be to me in the veto ceremony? He's like, you'd better not use that veto on me. You're a dumbass if you use the veto on me. And she's like, okay, well, geez. Maybe I won't use it at all. And he's like, don't even think about it. That would be so dumb. Then both of us go home. She's like, okay, yeah, no, not going to use it. On you, don't worry.
I can't. He's driving me up a wall. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Doesn't want to use it on him.
And I get it. This is good gameplay from him. He's just so.
It's funny to me that somebody is actively campaigning to not have the veto used on them. And it is the right move. Look at that. Sometimes it is the right move to not have the veto used on you. Look at that.
To not play. Okay. So this harkens back to what I was saying. Sometimes it's the right move to not play like optimally. That's all. That's all I was trying to say, everybody. That's all I was trying to say.
You meant optimally in the classic sense.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Not yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's what I meant. Like the rules of Big Brother.
Yes.
Sometimes this season is different because you're breaking all types of rules in order to play optimally for Big Brother 23.
Yes.
That's all I was saying. I feel really bad because you were confused. I was looking at the chat. Everybody was confused. I'm getting on here just talking.
Sorry. So, you know, you can't always make sense all the time. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get the point.
Sure. But I have a microphone in my face. I should probably, probably make sense.
We get to the veto ceremony and Tiffany tries. We don't really see much of it because it's like right before. But Alyssa ends up using the veto on herself. Claire goes up as the replacement nominee. Tiffany says to the cameras afterward, I tried. I did my best. It didn't work.
I love her. I love her so much. She's one of my favorite Big Brother players I've ever had the pleasure of watching. On the screen, on the feeds. I hope that things work out for her and she's not the first one, at least cut from the six, and she makes it really far, if not win, because I think that things are looking a bit dire for her at the moment. But yeah, because I just want her to get her due. I want her to really solidify herself as the legend that I believe she is in Big Brother.
Well, Xavier comes up to her and says, I get it. I get why you tried. I'm not mad. Don't worry about it. And she appreciates it. I was a little bit like, what is this about? Why is he coming up saying he's not mad? Tiffany later explains that he was very obviously pissed off that she was talking to Alyssa, and she does not buy that he wasn't mad at all.
I love her. See, that's just like the Xavier just really, really needs to let it go. He just needs to let it go. That's what we're all begging for. Just let it go now.
Okay? Let it go.
Oh, wow.
Let it go.
Go ahead. Keep going.
I don't know that. I don't know if this is. You should just let it go. That's not how the song goes, right?
No, but you know, I'm interested in the fact that your first thought was to go to Frozen. I maybe on another podcast in another time, we can talk more deeply about that, Taryn.
I mean, I watched that movie probably like, I don't know, 3 years. I don't know how long. I don't know when it came out. But I probably watched it more recently than a lot of people. So
I only remember. Let's move along. Let's move along. Right. I feel like I've already gotten us off track too much.
Let It Go makes me think of Frozen. Own It makes me think of Big Brother.
Anything else?
Other phrases.
Alpha is forever and always going to make me think of you. So there we go.
Of course. whenever I hear people say "shut up," I'm just going to think,
"Shut the f- up, Kylan."
It's going to be Big Brother again.
Fuck Sarah Beth and I said that shit.
That one? Yeah.
That's a great one.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, so Alyssa's going to talk to Azza.
Oh no!
And
this is bad. This one's bad.
Oh, she's real proud. Oh, I'm a genius! I can't believe I got Tiffany to put Claire on the block. Oh, I'm so good at this. She doesn't know what she's doing.
I'm a genius. It's so embarrassing that after she leaves, Azza is like. That was really embarrassing. That's how bad it is.
So bad for her.
Azza was like, oh, she has not a clue. She's on a different planet right now.
Yeah, she's That's like, this is why we should have told them the truth. This is just sad.
I know. It was bad. It was cute. It was really cute. Like Alyssa's really sweet and was like super pumped that she got what she thought she wanted. But Azza's reaction to Alyssa at all times is hilarious. Like the dress moment, hilarious. This moment, hilarious. It's great.
Mm-hmm. She said that Tiffany told her people are lying to her about wanting to keep Xavier, and that's why she needed to use the veto on him to ensure that he was safe. But it didn't work on Alyssa. And she still managed to get Claire on the block anyway. She's talking about next week, how she, what she would do is put up Kyland and Tiffany. And Azza asks her which of the two she would want to leave. And she said, I would want Kyland out. Which is good news for Tiffany.
It is.
If that stands, I imagine that Xavier will be working on her. And this will likely change by Thursday.
I hope not, because I'm getting worried. I'm really worried that Tiff is going to be in trouble in this double. As a Tiff stan, I need Hannah or Azza to win, please. Or even Kyland. If Kyland wins, we're fine, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's going to go after Tiff. If Kyland wins the double, he would put up X and Alyssa, right?
He may not put X up. He had his whole plan of put two cookout members on the block, leave Alyssa off the block, and then backdoor her essentially, because then if she wins the veto, it's who knows exactly what he'd do. Quite frankly, I think he's going to throw it.
Okay. All right. Going to remain more anxious about Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of if Tiffany's in trouble. I think it's a matter of Tiffany is in a lot of trouble come Thursday. And, she's got a few outs and she's got to hit those. She's got to hit those outs. Tiffany's going to talk to Claire. She's like, I tried. It would have been amazing if I'd been able to get Alyssa to use the veto on X. And this is when she tells Claire that X was so mad that she tried, and he tried to pretend it wasn't. He wasn't afterward. He also went to Hannah and was like, I'm not mad. X now seems to not trust Hannah at all. I mean, he went to Hannah to complain to her about Tiffany, and Hannah did not bite, did not even pretend to bite. Ever since then, he's been talking about taking Hannah out. And then when Kylan comes to him this morning and saying that, that Tiffany and Hannah were both pushing him to go after Xavier, I think that was the final straw for Xavier.
Oh no, my girls.
The siblings are broken up.
I know. I'm really, right now there's just a lot of, anxiety for me as like a huge Tiff fan about where this is going to go from here. Basically the people that I would like to win are in the most trouble going into the double. And I think that I'm really hoping that maybe the rest of this week, something can sort of mellow out or change now that the big emotional gut punch has finished with Claire going up on the block. Like maybe Hannah can start to make something work again with Axe, because maybe he will hopefully stop complaining. I'm not really sure, but
we'll see. What is this? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This will be, if he continues to complain today, that'll be day six of Xavier's complaining. We'll see if it continues.
I'd love for you to ask a question. Like, why did you think it was necessary to complain for 6 days that Tiffany won that HOH?
I mean, here, I will say this about Xavier, I don't think that all of the complaining has been helping him, but when he does it with Big D, I mean, that has genuinely been bonding him with Big D. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I thought he was doing this strategically, I would be giving him props for it. I think asking him why he felt it was necessary is maybe not the question, because
I was just being petty. We don't have to game that. I was just being petty.
But I'm with you on the pettiness though, because I don't think he's doing this for game purposes. I think he's genuinely just pissed off. And I think he's actively trying to make choices that go against his own game interest, because he, first of all, thinks he can. He's got the space for it. He's like, I don't think Tiffany can win a jury vote. I don't think Tiffany's coming for me, but I want her gone first anyway. She's so selfish.
Yeah, and that's what's upsetting me. Like, I wish somebody could talk to him and be like, well, if you don't think that she can win a jury vote and you don't think she's coming for you, why is she your first target? Probably because he thinks nobody's coming for him, right?
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he thinks he's in the position that he gets to be petty. And the thing is, though, it is the right call. Tiffany is coming for him. He just doesn't know. He thinks it's wrong. He thinks he's doing it for petty reasons. But the reality is that he should be doing it for game reasons. So it works out for him.
For sure. I think it's so interesting. You know how people always say, like, when you talk poorly about other contestants, it's something that can help bond you to with your alliance with people outside the alliance. I just think it's interesting that, you know, I think that that is definitely a strategy if the person that you're trying to bond with is like someone who enjoys talking a little smack, you know, like Big D is always down. So that's going to bond him to him. Hannah isn't like that. Like, she doesn't really talk smack about a lot of people in the house, I've noticed. She talked about Brent. I can't even get his name right. But that was not really, you know, her thing. So I think that it's just in general, these types of things are the things that I'm looking for on slow days like this, where it's like, oh, this strategy is going to work on this type of individual, you know?
Yeah. And the best way to get to Big D's heart is to either be Frenchie or be Kyland or trash talk Tiffany or be a man in general. Tiffany is going to talk with Claire and Kyland. And Tiffany, she's back to her old ways here. She has a new enemy, and that enemy is Xavier. And she's going to be coming up with all kinds of conspiracy theories about Xavier. He is definitely not 27. That guy is way older than 27. He is probably in like the military or law enforcement. He is not a bartender, and all kinds of things, as the three of them are going to just come up with all kinds of different theories.
Sure. Love it. This is, I feel like, when Tiffany is like the most entertaining. Cause yeah, look, Tiffany likes to talk smack. All right. I'm biased. I love Tiffany. Okay. So when she talks smack, it's funny. I'm going to be biased.
In the meantime, more smack is to be talked. Xavier talks with Big D some more. They talk like the majority of conversations yesterday were Xavier and Big D. Xavier says Hannah just follows Tiffany around. You have to put both of them up. She just does everything Tiffany says. They both want Kylan to take me out, and they want me to take Kylan out. Kylan and I have been comparing notes. It's not going to work on us. And we will be screwed if Kylan leaves. And Big D's like, yeah.
How wild that last week Kylan, like, X was like, I want to get him out next week. Like, I don't even want him to be anywhere near this final six. And now he's like, he can't leave. He can't. This is what I'm saying. Like, this was back to my earlier point that I was not really making sense with. The way, like, Xavier makes an enemy out of whoever he deems as being selfish or wanting to keep their person.
This is whoever doesn't fall in line with what Xavier wants them to do.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, he was like, how dare you try to use the veto on yourself instead of me? The veto should be used on me. And then this week it was, how dare you try to keep your person instead of my person? My person is the one that should stay. And so it's basically like, you know, who has messed with Xavier's plans lately?
And that's also, I think, yeah, but and that's why it's so annoying to the fans. And that's why I'm saying that it's like Franzel-esque, because it is one thing. It's just gameplay, right? It's whoever messed with his plans. It's gameplay that he's upset about. but he's trying to frame it in this way of like, you're being selfish. You're not, I'm not actually upset. Like, I would not do this, when that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. But I think he believes it. Like, I think he believes that he's,
and I think Franzl did too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this about Franzl. I think that she was game first and then created the personal stuff around that. Whereas I think, Xavier, at the very least, he feels comfortable enough that he's willing to, again, sort of be like, I don't need my game to be, I don't need to be optimal in my game. I can choose to take out Tiffany before Kylan if I want to, or Tiffany before whoever, because, if I want to, because, you know, I'm in the position to do that. You know, before that it was, I'm going to take out Kylan because he's the one that I'm upset with. So I think that's the real shift there, right? Like that, you know, he is being led by those sort of personal annoyances rather than, attaching them to the existing game, ideas.
Sure. Same result, different motivation or different order.
Big D is going to talk with, Alyssa, and, they're talking about the vote a little bit. And Alyssa says, you know, I was just thinking, if Claire leaves, it's just minorities left in the game. That's historic. Final seven, all minorities. Because I hadn't even thought of that.
It's like, this is brand new information.
Oh, man. How am I the only one that has thought about this? This feels great. This is awesome. If I leave next week, then at least I know a minority is going to win for sure. Ah, this is cool. I mean, I'm half white. Does that mean I'm next? Oh, how could you ever say that, Alyssa? No.
But, you know, I do think that it's so sweet and exciting to hear her be like, wow, all minorities in the final seven, which is so historic, and hear her be like, well, you know, at least a minority will win. That's something that's really important to me, which is just really lovely to hear her say, you know, she's a sweet girl. And when she finds out, she's going to feel dumb about this conversation. She's going to be like, oh my God.
she really thinks that, like, cause this should be a big giveaway that she's like, oh, I just thought about this. And everyone else is like, oh yeah, we never even noticed before.
Or you know what? If I was DF, I probably would have been like, yeah, that's like part of the reason why I wanted to work with you. You know, like, and just be like, that's not why you've been wanting to work with me. Because then she'll be like, yes, it is actually. You're right. I was thinking along those same lines.
Yeah. Big D. He's been having some great Tiffany bashing sessions with Xavier lately, and he feels like he's seen Kylan with Tiffany a lot, and he feels like he has not been bonding with Kylan lately, and he is upset about this, and he's wondering if Kylan trying to play him using the crush, and so he wants to talk to Kylan about it. He says, you know, I've been feeling distant lately, Kylan. It feels like you haven't been talking to me too much, and Kylan's like, Don't be feeling that. We're all on the same page. Don't worry about that. There's nothing to worry about, Big D. And then Big D, after Kylan leaves briefly, he goes to the cameras. I don't buy this. Kylan's using me. He's playing me, using my emotions. I'm over it. I'm going to use Kai just like he's using me.
You go, Big D. You do that. Go for it. I think that it's really, it is in Big Brother. Like, if you've ever been in a relationship and you can tell something's off, but like you're telling yourself nothing's off, because if something's off, then you're going to have to deal with the fact that something's off. I feel like relationships in BB are always like that. And it's just now amplified for him because he actually does have a crush on Kylan. So he's like, oh gosh, I think something's off. And like, I know that I think something's off. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about this, because I think that Xavier has done a good job of pulling Big D to his side. I don't know that it has a lot of value to it. You know, like, again, Big D winning a competition, not impossible, but not super likely. So, and even if he does, you know, there was never really a situation where he was going to target Kylan or Xavier anyway. I guess his vote is the biggest thing, but pulling Big D away from Kylan is definitely a win for Xavier. However, in this kind of situation, I think it would be very easy for Kylan to pull Big D back if he tried. So the question is, will Kylan go for that again? All he probably needs to do is give him another big smooch. And it'll be good, right?
Is that how you smooch, Jaren?
That's how Kylan smooches.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
We've seen it. we'll see. We'll see where this Big D Kylan drama goes. Hannah's going to talk with Claire. They're talking about jury votes. Claire, says that she wants to tell Kylan that if he gets to the end with Xavier, he's going to lose. And
she should. She should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she talks about because people are going to lose to Xavier. And Hannah is like, between the two of us, I don't think Xavier's played a very good game. He's played a very passive game. He's playing an Enzo game. He's just throwing competitions. She says, a great player, they actually strategize. They don't just like chill and throw comps. And Claire says, that's all well and good, but if I leave this house saying Xavier's going to win, that incentivizes me to give my vote to Xavier, to prove myself right. Familiar. So that's what she's going to do.
It's just so great. Like this is a conversation that like we would be having, but they're in the house playing the game, talking about the meta strategy of it. It's so cool.
Yeah. We talked about it a lot last season with Big Brother Canada 7 season or Canada 9 season, with Jed, and how everyone was saying Jed was going to win the game and how that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Claire intends to use that argument, with Kylan, with other people that like, hey, if I say Xavier's going to win this game and then I leave and you don't vote out Xavier, I'm going to vote Xavier. I'm now incentivized to prove you wrong for voting me out and vote for Xavier to win this game. I don't care about anything else. She intends to go there. I don't know that anything can break through Kylan's obstinacy when it comes to wanting to go to the end with
these men and their egos. Like, I wish they could like take a step back for a second and be like, what if the way that I see myself, even if it's the truth, if it must be the truth that you see yourself this specific way, what if that's not how other people see me? Because perception is reality in the Big Brother house. That's like one of the main rules of Big Brother. So even if what I see myself as doing is the truth, if other people are telling me different, I need to fix that.
Yeah. You'd think.
Right?
But listen, you don't understand long-term thinking, because Kylan has set his game up in such a way that he can't not bring the better player to the end. I mean, do you know how much money he can make just being himself outside of this game?
Sure. This is all stuff that like is obviously the most annoying thing that you've ever heard, but also like Kylan, I do think is now really starting to put himself in a position where maybe he could win. Sorry, everybody, if you're watching the light on my face, I'm trying to make it so that it's just not working. I do think that if he woke up and saw how people are seeing him, he could not only be working game wise to get himself there, but working perception wise to get himself there. And I do think that a lot of, and I don't want to generalize at all. My existence in this world as a woman, so much thought is put into how other people are perceiving me. So much thought. My whole life has been put into, oh gosh, does this person like me? Are they going to see me as smart enough, funny enough, sweet enough, kind enough, whatever? And I wonder if this is now just a working theory that I'm talking about on the podcast. Like, I wonder if the women who play this game have more of that thought in their head in terms of endgame strategy that some men perhaps don't, because, and obviously this is not just a female thing. I'm talking about my specific experience, but I do wonder if just like socially, that's something that women put more clout into for themselves, the perception that people see them, like the way people perceive them versus like that is a strength if you are a woman going into an endgame of Big Brother.
I mean, I would definitely say at least for these people in this house, the women mm-hmm. of the house are a lot more self-aware than the men of the house. I think Azza is the most self-aware person in the house. But if you were to rank the least self-aware people, it would probably the men of the house right now would probably be the bottom three in terms of where we're at here.
I'm not trying to say men are not self-aware. I'm just saying I wonder if that is like what you just put into words. Maybe these women are more self-aware than the men of the house. Not maybe, I think that they are.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Oz is going to talk to Xavier, and she talks about who she wants to put up on the block next week if she wins. And she has been thinking she does not want to put Tiffany up, mostly because she wants to, first of all, have Alyssa go home. But if Alyssa wins the veto, she wants Kylan to go home. And she's worried mm-hmm. that if Kylan is up next to Tiffany, that Tiffany would go home and not Kylan. That said, she's open to the idea of putting Tiffany up, but it would be best if she could put Xavier up. And Xavier says, I'd prefer not to go up, actually. I just don't think, you know, I've been on the block like three weeks in a row. So like, it would be great to not go up on the block. And she's like, you know, okay, yeah, you know, I would definitely, you know, take that into consideration. I could put maybe Hannah up. I'm just concerned that like maybe Hannah would leave if I had to replace Alyssa with Hannah. And then if it's, you know, Hannah versus Kylan, then I'm worried that Hannah might go. X is like, no, I think Hannah would stay. And she's like, let's say I did put Tiffany up. What would Hannah would vote to keep Tiffany. Big D would vote to keep Kylan. Alyssa could go either way. It really comes down to you, Xavier. What would you do if it was Kylan versus Tiffany? And he says, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I would do between the two of them right now. I'm not sure where I would go. Because here's the thing. Both of them are selfish. Neither of them are team player. Kylan, the week before, he also won a competition when he wasn't supposed to. Then now Tiffany won a competition when she wasn't supposed to. So both of them could go as far as I'm concerned. And she said, okay. Well, let's table it then. I'll come to you maybe like Thursday morning and you can let me know, what you've decided. If you're going to tell me that you're going to vote Tiffany out, then I can put you up. She doesn't say that, but she is implying it with what she's saying. Cause she says you would be a certainty. You would be the safest option. And he's like, no, not necessarily. She's like, no. Big D and Alyssa, I would tie break. It's guaranteed. But if you don't prefer to go up, I can go with something else. That's okay too. And then it devolves into a rant about Tiffany from Kyle.
But like
from Xavier.
Xavier should have never. Should have never. Like, this is what I'm talking. Like, Xavier seems to think that he's got this thing wrapped up. If you think you got this thing wrapped up, say, of course I will vote out Kylan. Of course I will. That's all you have to do. Move along. Most people would never. That's all I have to say about that.
This is particularly interesting that he is so against going up, because he has been ranting for days now about how Tiffany doesn't want to go up on the block next week. How selfish of her to not want to go up on the block. How dare she? He's going to talk with Big D. They're going over, this is, we've veered into late night territory. They're going to go over what Big D is going to say when he puts Tiffany and Alyssa on the block. They talk about, how Xavier plans to throw both the HOH and the veto. He can't win either one next week. Because he doesn't want to have to put Alyssa on the block, because that wouldn't be fair.
After what happened this week?
No.
Tiffany did it to herself. She wasn't supposed to win.
Tiffany doing it was actually a bad thing for the cookout. Whereas if mm-hmm. I did it, it would expose the cookout to Alyssa when she goes home. So,
yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. not selfish of me Mm-mm. or anything.
Not at all.
See, he says to Big D that Oz is worried that if she puts Hannah up next to Kylan, that Hannah would go home. And Big D says, she would. I'd vote her out. We need Kylan. And you know what? If Hannah leaves, it would be Oz's dumbass fault for not listening to me and going after Tiffany.
Harken back to the comment I made about egos a bit ago. Big D has so much to say, and that's all I'm going to say.
They go on to talk about the cookout and how Big D started it. And Big D says, you know, all the guys in this game, we have focused on getting as many girls to the end as possible, as well as the most minorities to the end. And look, we accomplished our goal. Look how many women are in the end with us. That's because us men, we're really focusing on trying to get as many girls in the end as possible, because it was minorities and then girls. That's what we have done.
Mm-hmm.
Just
with all your comp wins, Big D.
Just
with
a
all
reminder,
your comp wins, you were able to get this to happen with all the power that you wielded.
In case you've forgotten, Big D from week one has been desperate to take out as many women as possible in this game. And he is now bragging about how the men have allowed the women, helped the women become a majority in the jury phase, that they are responsible for getting the women there. And he is not saying this to a woman. He's not saying this to anybody. This is not a game. He is genuinely bragging about it in the context of justifying what the cookout is doing. He's saying, not only are we helping the cookout in terms of minorities getting to the end, we also, us men, he specifies, have helped the women get as far as they can.
Honestly, this whole conversation just makes me so upset. Like, hearing you talk about it phrased in this way with all of that context, it's just so beyond insulting. And I really hope that once he gets out of the house and is able to look at the season as a whole, he is able to perhaps, and I hope, change his tune.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Mm-hmm. Xavier, of course, is like, and you know what? The thing about me, too, is that what's bothered me about Tiffany is that she doesn't want to be on the block next week. Can you? Unbelievable. Doesn't she know that I have been on the block three times now? Three times. And, okay, first one was roulette, whatever. But then the second one, I didn't need
chose.
That veto. I didn't need that veto. I won it so that Claire wouldn't come off the block and that she wouldn't have to deal with the campaigning or whatever. So I took that. I took that for the team. I took that. And now, I was supposed to go up a third time next to Alyssa, but I was supposed to have a gap week. This was supposed to be a gap week for me. I was supposed to be chilling this week. And that decision to win HOH cost her $750,000. Nobody trusts her now.
We got to move on from this convo.
Big D says, and we're the ones that put this together. The guys have been the ones to put in all the hard work to get this done. Tiffany had one job, which was to drop and get out of the way. Big D says, probably nobody has ever checked her in her real life. She's so insecure. She doesn't know how she comes off. She's always snapping at me when I'm being polite. If she goes home this week, we're going to laugh. We're going to laugh at her. Getting to 7, it's close enough. We did our job.
So that was taken out of context to make it sound online. And people were like, whoa, does this mean that they are going to like totally, you know, go after Tiffany instead of Alyssa and like include Alyssa in their game plans? No. They're saying if something happens, if Alyssa wins and they're willing to throw vetoes to her and stuff, they'll go after Tiff. So just so everybody has the context of that.
Yeah, they do not currently plan on winning HOH and actively not targeting Alyssa. But they would love it if Alyssa won one of those competitions, and they would laugh at Tiffany if that happened.
Mm-hmm. This conversation is really bad. It's really bad, and it really, really sucks. And it really makes me so angry, given that the reason that the cookout even has had this amazing success and structure is because of Tiffany. And they were carried by Tiffany. Tiffany chose them. This season could have gone completely different. Tiffany is the powerhouse of the season who figured out how the strategy went. Tiffany and Kylan. Xavier, you were a background player the first half of the season. Okay? Big D, you... Sorry. I'm not even going to go there. I'm so upset by this conversation and how entitled these guys are. It is really, really infuriating, insulting, and... We have some of the best female players on this season that we have had in a really long time. These girls are kicking ass and taking names, and I am so happy that we are watching strategic threats, comp threats, and social threats. All three are represented hugely on this season by these women. They are so amazing, and I have been dying for a season where we see people like Tiffany and Hannah and Azza in the house together. Even Alyssa, who has been able to carry her own in these competitions. Even Claire, who has been, as we saw yesterday, is such an amazing person. These girls are killing it this season. How dare you? That's what I have to say. How dare you?
Mm-hmm. I talked about this yesterday, Xavier, in terms of like what he has done for the cookout to get here, I think, like when people are talking about like, no, Xavier, how could somebody say that Xavier hasn't done much more than Azza for the cookout? Then when it's like, okay, so what has he done? He won an HOH and took out Brent. That HOH was thrown to him. Everyone was taking out Brent at that time, but he did that. Okay. That's why he's done more than Azza. What else? He's thrown competitions, and he, The biggest answer I see is he has kept the cookout together. He was the glue that held them together. He was the person that kept them all working for the same. What do you mean? What exactly did he do? He had one mediated session between Azza and Tiffany, but they were going to work together anyway. They were frustrated with each other, but they were still working together. What exactly has he done to keep the cookout together? Exactly.
I also don't want to discount. I think Xavier could totally win. I think that last week, before his meltdown this week, he was really playing the winning game out of everybody. I still think that he probably has the best shot here.
Yeah.
But do not discount all of the work that these women have done for you. Like, truly, this conversation, the sun is in my face, so you cannot see how red my face is. But I think that these women are going to go down in history as some of the best women to ever play Big Brother. Like, they're up there with the Vanessas and the, like, in terms of strategy, like, again, just how dare you? I actually can't even get into it more because I'm very upset about it. But these girls are amazing. I can't wait until I listen to your deep dives with them at the end of the season about the way that they've played this whole season. And yeah, the strategy that they have, like, and they're so different from one another. The way that Hannah has been playing versus the way Tiffany has been playing versus the way Azza has been playing is so exciting to watch all within this cookout. And yeah, I the reason that I love the Cookout Alliance so much and the reason that I've loved this season so much is because of those three women and the way that they've been playing Big Brother.
Well, there you go. So that's about the night here. Although, you know, last night, Hannah, didn't exactly take the hint to bounce out of the room. No such problem last night as, we have some more canoodling goes on between Tiffany and Kai.
This is fun. It's messy. It's fun. I like it. Whatever. I'm into it. Go for it, guys. I love the Big Brother goggles that are on for both of them. I hope it means that they'll take each other further. Whatever. You know, do your thing. Have fun. Go for it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
all right. So that's about what we have for you. Maggie, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I just, I'm glad now everybody knows how much I love and adore these female players on this season. And I really do. I'm really hoping that Alyssa goes home in the double eviction so that we can get that moment where all of them are together and they're like, oh my God, we're the final six. Oh my God, we made this happen. I think that it's going to be so historic and I'm really hoping that we get that on the episode and we all get to see that. Yeah, I guess that's it. It's going to be exciting after this double, whatever happens in the double, whatever happens after. Next week is going to be a really, I think, messy and exciting week because all these people are going to play really hard. And at the end of the day, that's just sort of what I'm trying to say is that all of these people, once we get to six, they're all very self-interested. They all want to win. Every single one of these people in this Cookout Alliance want to be the winner. So I think that we're going to be in for a fun ride.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about what we have for you. I do want to, talking a lot about X in this update. I am trying to discount the whiny sort of arguments mm-hmm. that he is making about all the things he's done for the Cookout. Because I would say again, I could and probably will go over the entire game and mm-hmm. his contributions have been very small. And he is very convinced that Tiffany would not be there if not for the Cookout, which is wrong. That said, I will reiterate for the probably 15th time at this point, since I'm sure there will be plenty of comments about it. He is not doing anything that is particularly bad for his game in this moment. It's just that his motivations are coming from an ill-conceived place, in my opinion. One that's pretty frustrating, considering everything that other people in this game are actually sacrificing for the Cookout. And I think that he is stepping up his game in some ways as well. So far, he has been able to hold on to Azza. She's been back and forth. If she does not nominate him, if she does nominate Tiffany, that would be a huge win for him. Again, if Alyssa wins, takes out Tiffany, that would be a huge win for him. He has been able to pull Big D away from Kylan for the time being as well. He is looking like a potential winner here. I do think
for
that
sure.
His jury chances have diminished a little bit. Based on this week, but he is still very likely to be getting there primarily because Tiffany and Hannah have failed to convince Kylan to target him. Kyland also has been playing this week pretty well, and has really fallen far down on the target list. So these are things that are not being ignored. It's they are there, but there are also separate things outside of the game that are frustrating.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us here today. We're going to be live later tonight for the Roundtable Podcast. We will be rating these players in the Stockwatch. So make sure you tune in for that. I'm going to be releasing the survey on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, if you want to fill it out yourself and rate these players yourself. I will also be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. And then Wednesday, we'll have an episode. We'll have a recap. The Circle is also going to be starting pretty soon here. I believe they will be, the episodes will be dropping on Wednesday. Rob and I will have a premiere podcast ready for you guys to listen to for that if you're interested in The Circle. And you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at @MLMorgan_.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much again for joining us. And we'll see all of you next time.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.